Lines of white light slash across a blue screen to form signature. There's a spotlight under the letter A that's positioned center screen. The screen turns to black. Thin, informal white lettering appears. Ealing Studios. Carnaby International present. A Londinium Films. Ealing Studios production. Kids in Love, audio described by Tacey. Ferries sail along the River Thames towards the horizon, a vista that slides away into the hazy distance, with a smattering of skyscrapers thrusting their insistent way into the sky. Cast credits appear over the ever-changing vistas of London's land and river. Will Poulter, Alma Hodorowski, Jamie Blackley, Sebastian D'Souza, Preston Thompson, Cara Delevingne, Gala Gordon, Geraldine Somerville, Pip Torrens. The graffitied undercroft at the South Bank where skateboarders and BMXers gather is shown. Casting director, Olivia Scott-Webb. Other production credits and views follow. Line producer, Samantha Waite. Original score, Rael Jones. Costume design, Sean Jenkins. Editor, Chris Ranson. Production designer, Hannon Purdy-Foggins. Director of photography, Dirk Nell. Executive producers, Agarim Jagashiva and James Spring, Andrew Loveday, Sean O'Kelly, Austin Shaw. Co-producer, Mark Hopkins. Written by Preston Thompson and Sebastian D'Souza. Produced by Barnaby Thompson and Ben Latham-Jones. Directed by Chris Foggin. Two lads are in the bedroom of an upmarket West London house.
I don't know why you're not jumping up and down about this. It's South America, man. It's what our lives have been leading up to.
I do think it's going to be great. I just don't think it's, like, the only option.
Dude, what the fuck else is there to do, man? You do the gap year, you do uni, then you go find a job,
yeah,
and then
that's
you're,
that's what everyone's
like...
doing, Tommy. What about, you know, the path less trodden and all that?
What, Thailand? Are you kidding me? Are you joking? We've spoken about this. We've spoken about the whole ladyboy thing and how freaky that is.
Freaks you out.
Yeah.
Tom flicks through a magazine.
It's cool, that, isn't it?
It's a bit... arty. Well, I've seen so far as a bit of side boob, that's it.
Well, it's ID magazine. It's not really that sort of thing.
Yeah, clearly, but just, you know, just chuck a couple of trendy titty pics in here for the lads, get them going, and you'll boost sales.
Jack, people are here. Can you and Tom please come downstairs and say hello?
Yeah, I'll come down.
Oh, you are a sweetie. Thanks, Tom. Come on, Jack, come on.
Coming.
Jack nods his compliance. He finishes dressing and pauses for thought, throws the magazine on the bed behind him and scampers down the stairs to join the busy party, where Graham, his father, is waiting for him.
Right. Now, plenty of opportunities here, Jack. Right? Come on.
Jack allows himself to be shepherded out into the garden.
Jack. Hi, Mr. Walker. How are you, Mrs. Walker? Nice to see you.
I haven't seen you since you finished school. Congratulations on getting into Bristol. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much.
What are you going to read?
I'm going to read history at the moment.
And then a law conversion, so he'll be coming your way for a job soon, Bill.
Yes, well, your father mentioned that you're interested in doing an internship. It'd be good to have a straight down the line chap like you about the place.
Oh, thank you, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure whether...
Well, nah, come on, Jack, don't be modest.
I'm sure we can find something for you to do.
I appreciate it, Bill.
So, you're taking a gap year?
Yes, yeah, I am with Tom, which would be great. I'm sort of hoping it turns into more of a gap life, really.
Bill Walker is unsure how to take the comment. Then Jack and Tom are chuggers, accosting people in the street.
Lovely to meet you. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Smash.
The grandmas, mate, they just love you.
Yeah, they're wise. They know what's good.
Jack draws as a cool, leggy brunette approaches.
Tom.
She saunters past, wearing high cut-off denim shorts, a crop top under open jacket.
Fuck off. Fuck off. You've got to go and speak to her.
I'm not going to speak to my dad.
No, you have to, like that. Come on,
I don't want to do it, I don't know what to say.
I don't know, just mention a Spice Girls jacket.
The boys wait either side of the entrance to a newsagent's. She exits the shop, unwrapping a packet of cigarettes. Tom pointedly nods at Jack. He stares impotently at her as she casually pops a cigarette into her mouth and walks away.
Excuse me, miss.
She turns.
I was wondering if I could have a couple of minutes of your time to talk about the London Heart Trust.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So what do you want to know?
I'm sure that's what you're meant to say.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not actually. So we at the London Heart Trust, we're trying to gain funding for new research. Mm. And,
Are you going to say these are going to kill me?
She smiles provocatively.
Well, that wasn't actually in the speech, but,
Awful for you.
Right.
So, excuse me, Jack, I was just wondering... Oh, my gosh, you're the customer. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Tom.
Evelyn.
Jack.
Good, we've got names sorted. So, are you going to sign up with us today?
No, I don't think so.
She glances at Tom, then at Jack.
Well, if you've got 5 minutes, I can take a break if you want to grab a coffee.
Oh, well, I'm afraid I'm meeting someone.
Brutal.
But you could walk me to that corner?
Yeah, sure. To the corner.
He glances over his shoulder at Tom as he escorts the pretty girl to her destination.
So you're from France?
Yes, I'm from Paris.
Paris, but you live here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. I like the jacket, by the way.
Thanks. Which one would you be?
I'd be scary.
No, you wouldn't.
What? Don't tell me you think I'd be posh.
No. Baby.
Baby? Oh, she's the cutest one. I'll take that.
She smiles at him.
What do you do?
This at the moment. Just charity. And then travelling with Tom and then probably...
No, I mean, like, what do you do? What do you like?
I don't know.
Not good at small talk, are you?
Yeah, it's feeling that way, isn't it?
It's okay, it's useless.
A car pulls up.
Well, this is me.
Oh, sure. It was nice to meet you.
You too, Jack. Okay.
She crosses the road and turns to him before entering the posh 4x4.
Jack, if you're ever knocking about, come to the fiddler screen.
What's that?
It's a pub on Fritville Place.
Sure, okay.
She gets in. The driver is an attractive, slim, young male with tousled brown hair.
See ya.
Jack returns to Tom, who gestures, well, Jack returns the gesture.
Well, tell me, come on, tell me what happened, then. What'd she say?
She said, there's a pub, come to...
Come you to... Get, what she said, that you need to get to...
Come to...
Are you going to... Wait, well, obviously you're going to get it.
Tom checks out passing girls.
Imagine when we're at the top of Machu Picchu, just lapping up all those beautiful vistas.
Did you really just say beautiful vistas?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? There are going to be beautiful vistas. Oh, seven. Go on. Mate, don't sound too excited. Think about all those beautiful Brazilian women.
You keep saying this. I'm not sure why Brazilian women are so great. I mean, how many Brazilian women do you know?
Not a lot. That's the whole point.
Well, so how do you know they're going to be great?
I don't understand why you're even asking that question. Why do you think they won't be? Oh, she's a six. Nope, my judgment is terrible. She's a four, she's horrible.
I'm not saying that they won't be. Like, I'm not saying they're all gonna be ugly, but there are some beautiful women in the UK too. And I know that you're expecting every single one to look like Adriana Lima. That's your only reference point.
And Giselle as well, so I might look like her. I'm fine with that, I'm cool with it.
Your mate do, okay.
Okay, here's the thing. Name me one Brazilian girl that isn't hot.
I don't know any Brazilian women.
Apart from Adriana and Giselle?
Apart from them, yeah.
Exactly, so we're operating at 100% success rate. Oh, 7.5, look at her. Wow. I might shag Izzy before that, just get some practice in.
How's that going for you?
I mean, it's, you know, I'm playing the long game.
I don't get it, man. Izzy's sort of a bitch to you, isn't she? And you've been trying it for ages.
No, you should go and see that girl in that pub before you start giving me lectures about having no chance, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, I might.
Jack, no disrespect, but you're never going to go to that pub. And even if you did, you wouldn't know what to say. I mean, I wouldn't even know what to say.
Tom glances at Jack.
Right. Love, Doctor.
Izzy's having people around tonight.
Of course she is. Again.
Yeah.
Well, you're going, aren't you?
Yeah, I might go.
Definitely going.
Yeah, I'll see.
Yeah, which means I have to go.
Jack's getting increasingly bored, sat around a dinner table with friends.
Exeter, you get 5 weeks Easter holiday, so we can still go to Thailand.
It's like having a gap year.
Oh, my God, we're going to have so much fun.
She counts on her fingers. Jack mouths he's going to leave.
Five of us now with Amy, Chaska and Kate.
Tom follows Jack into the hall.
I hope Andy's going. He's absolutely gorgeous. Is it seriously? I'm going to start from Thailand because I watch that
film. Who the fuck is that, Andy?
I don't know.
Come on, man, don't go.
I don't know, man. I'm not really up to it.
Well, what are you going to do? You're just going to go home like it's not even that late?
I think I might go check out that pub.
I want the one with that girl.
Yeah.
You're welcome to come.
No, it's fine. No, I'm not really feeling it. Just stay, man. Like, it's never gonna happen, is it?
Might as well find out.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Cool.
Good luck, man.
Yeah, good luck to you. Good luck with Gap Year.
Call me later, yeah?
I will do, man. See ya.
Cool. All right, bye.
Tom momentarily watches the closed door before returning to Izzy and her chums. Jack saunters nonchalantly down a dark pavement with his hands thrust in his pockets. Passing shadows fall on his face before sodium lights illuminate it once more. He gets directions from the shopkeeper of a local general store. He approaches the Fiddler's Green, a Victorian-fronted pub, and enters the darkened, cavernous pub, lit by strategically placed fairy lights, candles and low-watt bulbs. A blackboard advertises a pub quiz, an open mic night and alternative Wednesdays. A young man leaning against the bar perks up as Jack approaches.
What are you drinking?
I'm not at home. I'm just about to get one.
You're a crony.
I'm here to see a friend.
You'll have a crony, though.
The man confuses Jack, but he spies Evelyn in red dress and matching lipstick coming towards him, shrugging into a jacket.
Hey.
Hi.
He stares open-mouthed at her.
Jack, right?
Jack, yeah. Evelyn.
You met Lars?
Lars. Oh, Lars. Hi, sorry. Thank you. I thought you were calling me a crony, not the drink. I was confused.
Oh, drink the crony.
That's what we drink. Actually, I was about to go. I'm going to a club. Do you want to come?
Oh, yeah, sure.
En avant.
Lars waves them goodbye without accepting payment. The couple enter a street, crowded with drinkers spilling out of pubs for a smoke and a chat. Jack loses some of his awkwardness, and his chatter makes Evelyn smile. She rings a doorbell and is welcomed with open arms by a young black man in stylish suit. They enter and the door is firmly closed behind them. The hallway is flooded with red light. Evelyn turns to Jack as she leads him deeper into the place. They step out into a pumping underground club filled with potted aspidistras and palms, a veritable Victorian boudoir in flowing red velvet. Hands sway in the air, flesh caught in the ever-changing coloured lighting.
Have you been here before?
Here? No, I can't say I have.
Ev, baby!
Cass!
They kiss.
Hey, man. Cassius.
Oh, Jack. Nice to meet you.
They stare at the dancers.
It's a jungle.
Yeah, what animal are you?
White-bellied orca.
Deadpan Cass dissolves into giggles. Jack laughs along. Evelyn indicates they should venture forth and takes Jack by the hand, leading him through the dancers. Cass dances with an enthusiastic partner. Evelyn arrives at a booth where the chap from the car waits on a sofa.
Hey, Milo.
Hey, baby.
This is Jack.
How you doing, Jack?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Evelyn and Milo kiss. Cass drapes an arm around Jack's shoulder as they climb stairs.
You never tell me what animal you were.
I hadn't really thought about it.
So you're a dog?
I'm a dog. Why is that?
Well, if you're unspecified and a man, you know.
Like a man.
You're a dog?
Okay.
Ev's a cat. You want to watch out for cats because they can be, well, you know, tricky. But no one needs to worry because they always come back. Speaking of cats, I thought you'd left.
We'd never let you down.
We know we're the life and soul of the party.
Oh, I didn't realise you worked here as well.
Sisters, this is dog. Dog, sister.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I work here.
He makes sure the girls outnumber the boys 5-1.
I'm surprised he even let you in.
Well, he came with Ev, so I didn't really have a choice.
Oh, speak of the devil. We've just been hearing about your friend here.
Quite the charmer, isn't he? Where did you both meet?
In the street?
Yeah, I'm working for charity at the moment, so, you know, I feel sorry for her. Brought her in from the cult.
What?
This is mine. I've got to take this. Jack, you're a beautiful man. I'm sure I'll be seeing you.
Should we dance?
Yeah, why not?
I'll grab
Come
a drink.
On. Come on.
OK.
The sisters, one dark, the other fair, take Jack by the hand and lead him to the dance floor. They are dressed in a mix of 1920s bohemia and 70s flower power. Jack jiggles on the spot, all the while glancing around at Evelyn. Through the undulating limbs of the dancers on the floor, Jack spies the woman of his dreams, canoodling with her boyfriend Milo on a red velvet sofa. Cass is dancing with yet another lovely. Evelyn and Milo's fingers are entwined, a reflection of their intimacy. Jack continues to dance with the sisters, Viola and Eleanor. Their bodies fluid and natural, his out of practice, juddering slowly, it refines itself into a modicum of grace. Later, with jacket nonchalantly draped over his shoulder, Jack retraces his steps through the busy streets of Soho. He nimbly sidesteps around a passerby. His feet take him out onto the bright lights of the West End, a surreal twilight world of the flip side of normal life. Then he is sat with his parents, tucking into a roast lunch.
This Yorkshire pudding may well be a tad on the overdone side. Pass the gravy, will you, Lynn?
Linda passes the gravy boat to Jack, who in turn passes it to his father.
You were very late last night.
I was just out with some friends.
How's your job, darling?
Yeah, it's fine.
Can't wait to get started at the firm, I expect, eh?
Well, I don't know, quite enjoying it.
It's all very exciting. My son, the lawyer.
You mean the tea maker?
Well, don't take that attitude. Bill Walker doesn't give out favours often. Can't imagine what they just complain about. I'd jumped at the opportunity if I were you. University's a bare minimum these days. It's not easy to get a job in this climate, you know, Jack.
I know, and I'm grateful to Bill, but I just, I don't know. Maybe university's not for me.
Jack assiduously studies his plate of food. His dad stares at him with momentary concern.
You've always had a very dry wit.
So go on then, how was it?
It was cool, actually. Went to this place called the Drambuie. Met some really nice people.
Is that a club?
Sort of, yeah.
Was it like, no way, you're here, or was she like, oh yeah, you, what's your name again? That type of thing.
She remembered my name, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is kind of wicked. And then from there, what's up?
Tom stares at a message on his phone.
That's easy, man. Like, after you left the other night, everything was fine. And we actually got some time to talk, which was nice, until Iona, with the help of Freddie, of course, starts mixing up this rum punch.
And then
she starts coming at me and basically saying that I'm a second-class citizen because she's going to Exeter and I'm going to Bristol, which is below on the Sunday Times list. Then she has one drink too many, starts being sick everywhere.
For you, sir?
A crony.
A crony? Someone's picking up the verse.
So you scored the other night?
Score? Fell in love. You had fun?
Yeah, man, it was wicked.
What's your plan tonight?
I don't know. Where's Evelyn?
What? Do you like her?
No.
Oh, shit, you actually do.
I said no.
Jackie, you listen to Cass. Don't go near that. It's too much stress.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I don't like her, so. And anyway, she's with Milo, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
They take a seat on one of the pub's Chesterfield sofas.
So, what do you like? What's your thing?
Evelyn asked me the same question.
Here we go again.
Oh, no, come on. I didn't mean it like that. That's not fair.
I'm fugly, Jackie boy. Tell me, what would you do if money didn't matter? If you could do anything, just for the kick of it?
I mean, I quite like taking photos.
There you go. So where's your camera?
At home.
Is it film?
No, it's digital.
You got to be shooting on film, baby.
I know.
You do it all the time?
I try to. I mean, my girlfriend wasn't really sort of...
Don't let chicks get in the way of what you love.
Why, what do you love?
Chicks.
Later, Jack and Cass are strolling along the walkway beside a river in the sunshine of the day. They saunter down an airy alleyway past a public house and arrive at a dilapidated Hackney mansion house. To Jack's surprise, Cass immediately bypasses the sage green door, numbered 22.
Wait, aren't we going to ring the doorbell?
It doesn't work. Come on, I'll show you the scenic route.
Cass vaults over a high brick wall and easily lands in a garden of faded glory. Jack follows more cautiously, swinging one leg up and then the other until he straddles it. He astutely judges the drop before committing. He swings his leg over and holds on with both hands as he lowers himself into the garden. He lands with a stumbling gait and searches for Cass.
Cass?
Jack stumbles into the house through French windows. He closes the door behind him and glances around. It's a vast room with walls filled with framed paintings and eclectic furniture. There's a young man on a sofa.
Cass?
Oh, shit. Sorry, man. You scared me. I'm Jack.
The lad ignores Jack's outstretched hand. Jack slowly retracts it.
Okay. Good talk.
The room's a hodgepodge of works of art, antique furniture, plastic chairs, and detritus of a hedonistic lifestyle.
Cass?
Dog!
Oh, sister.
They embrace.
You can't call me that when Eleanor's not here. I'm Viola.
I'm Jack.
Oh, thank God, dude. My ex was called Dog. Feeling the pain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this your house? Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Also, is that guy okay?
Who, Dave? Yeah, Dave's all right. Aren't you Dave? Yeah, see? He blinked. He's cool.
Hey!
Hey!
God, he's way cuter in the light.
Yeah, good shoes too, but shame about the shirt.
I can get past the bad chat.
I'm feeling recently broken up.
Good call, Sagittarius.
Virgo. I think Virgo.
Taurus, actually, but you're sort of right about the girlfriend thing.
Taurus, really?
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, anyway, we've got to go check on our tie-dye. Ebb's upstairs.
Thanks.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, thanks.
Jack climbs Persian-clad stairs and follows a light and airy hallway whose walls are covered in framed pictures. He checks the rooms that lead off it. Then he climbs to the servants' quarters nestling in the roof of the house. A closed door has a handcrafted sign, 7 minutes in heaven, pinned to it. He tentatively opens the door and stares into a diamond-shaped space.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Evelyn's ensconced on a bed of duvets, blankets and pillows. Jack carefully settles himself in, a cup held in one hand. Evelyn is propped up on one arm.
What's up?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Not much.
He plays with a hanging cotton wool cloud.
It's a weird place.
Why?
Well, I just don't get any of it.
What is it that you don't get?
Well, we've only got 7 minutes.
Oh, well, you better get started.
Okay. What do you want?
Host? Bottle up fun?
What do you all do to live?
Really?
A head gesture tells her to continue.
Cassius works at the Dream Buoy. The sister, so you
just... What about Milo?
That question wasn't on the list.
What do you do?
I'm a full-time daughter of darkness.
Right.
She steps over him.
No, I just think you're different.
We're just kids, man. Like you.
Like me? I'm not so sure.
She starts to climb down a ladder.
There is something about you, Jack. Isn't there?
He makes his way downstairs, searching for her. He finds Cass in colourful boxes and Hawaiian shirt, holding up two pairs of trousers.
Now, which ones?
Those ones.
Great shout.
Cass steps into the trousers.
So do you live here, man?
Yeah, Jackie. This is where it goes down.
Where are Viola and Eleanor's parents?
They're not really around anymore, Jack.
Bad car crash, man.
Oh, shit, I didn't know.
No, they're fine. I mean... The girls are. Look, a couple of days ago, I hooked up with this artsy-fartsy baby. She left a camera here.
It's like a panto or a pentagon or some shit.
She's not coming back for it?
She's never coming back. You want it?
He offers it to Jack.
This is a Pentax.
Is that good?
Is it good? It's the best.
Well, we better start taking some photos then.
You know what? I think for a Pentax, I can take some photos.
Good.
Thanks, man. You want to be my first photo?
Let's go. Ready?
Cass poses. Then Jack starts to investigate the sprawling house. He enters a bedroom. The sisters are sitting on the rococo bed. Viola strumming a ukulele. Eleanor applying makeup.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
How's it going?
Good. So, who dumped who?
What?
Who dumped who? You or your girlfriend?
It wasn't really like that. You know, it was more of a,
She dumped you.
Yep, dumped you real good.
No, I promise. It wasn't. It was fine.
I love a good dumping.
It's like one of those ones from out of nowhere. It's like...
But I love you.
I need you.
I am nothing without you.
It's good, though. You know, you've got emotions, Jackie. I can call you Jackie, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, it's more than can be said about Sam.
True. Not mentioning any names or anything.
Who?
Milo.
Why do you think she'll say he is tonight?
I'm going for fuck knows.
Obviously. Fuck knows sounds right.
They haven't eaten you alive yet, have they, Jackie?
He calls them Jackie too.
I'm hanging in there.
Eleanor's got a girl for you tonight.
I don't need hookups. Come on, Jack.
It's for us. You got your boogie shoes on, baby?
Oh, don't baby me, honey.
The housemates hold a party. The bohemian room filled with young, writhing bodies and low light. Jack dances his customary jiggle with the Masters of Free Expression sisters. Cass dances with a pretty young thing. Evelyn pushes through a bead curtain and surveys the inhabitants before sweeping her hair behind her ear. She appears upset. Eleanor kisses her head.
How are you?
She fights back tears.
Where's Milo?
Fuck knows.
She falls into Eleanor's arms. Viola rubs her back. Then they each put an arm around her shoulder and the trio dance like disjointed puppets to the beat. Jack is dancing beside Cass and notices the object of his desire across the room. She smiles and makes her way over. He holds her hands and they dance. He twirls her under a raised arm. They smile. She dances in close, hugging onto his body. Then Evelyn and Cass are dancing back to back like bears rubbing their backs against a tree. Later still, Jack and the sisters collapse onto a sofa. He glances across at Evelyn, sat beside Cass.
Guys, I should probably get home.
No, you can't. Then you'd be breaking your only rule.
What's that?
When you come to Digger Betty's, you've got to stay at Digger Betty's.
They stand.
I should be going home, though.
Jack, you are at home.
Jack pushes through the bead curtain, separating the room from the rest of the house, and starts to investigate. He peers into Cass's room. The door is open wide. Cass is making out with two young girls. As he kisses one brunette, the other kisses his back. They are all down to underwear. Jack steps back out of view. He stifles his giggles, then peeps back at the menage a trois. Early morning rays of sunlight filter into the sisters' mansion. Dave is still sat on his customary sofa, Jack asleep on the sofa opposite under a blue throw. Evelyn picks her way over the detritus and sits on the sofa next to Jack.
Wakey wakey, sunshine.
She strokes his arm.
Hello.
Hey.
He wipes sleep away.
Oh.
What are you doing today?
I don't know. I probably should be getting home.
Oh, not on an empty stomach. What would your mother say?
She stands and walks away. He wipes more sleep away as he gains full consciousness.
You don't want to know.
Another reveller is asleep on a chaise. Jack and Evelyn eat at a cafe.
So you've known the sisters for a while then?
Yeah, a few years, but I just moved in like a year ago or something.
Oh, nice. And they're so sweet, they love you.
They love you.
Really?
Yeah.
Although I'm totally blaming them for how I feel this morning. I just feel so bad.
Milo enters.
Sorry I'm late, baby.
Counted on it.
Well, that's sweet. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good.
Where have you been?
Just busy. Excuse me. Can I get a coffee, please?
Yeah, come right up. Anything to eat?
No, I'm good, thank you.
You should eat.
I'm not hungry.
Sort of motherly breakfast.
Most important meal of the day.
Well, it depends when you start your day, though, right?
That's true. Normally in the morning, but not today, apparently.
Here you go, love.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy.
Milo's flirting with the waitress angers Evelyn.
What do you do, Jack?
Sorry, mouthful. I'm going to Bristol Uni next year.
He's working for the London Heart Trust.
Oh, chugger. That's beautiful.
He's a real-life Robin Hood.
Yeah, without the bow and arrow.
Is that yours?
Yeah, well, it's Cassius's, actually, or his friend, but he gave it to me, which...
Oh, really? That's sweet of him.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it?
We're gonna try and take some photos, but other than Cassius in his underwear, some proper photos, yeah.
How was the party?
It was fun. Jack is not your best friend.
Watch out, man. She's flaky.
I'm flaky? You're the flakiest person I know. Jack is a little reliable rock.
No, that is a compliment for you.
Right? Yeah, no, I love getting compared to inanimate objects.
I'm going for a smoke.
She testily gathers her jacket from the back of the chair and leaves.
She really lives in her own world.
Yeah, I wish I could be more like her sometimes.
Like all of them?
Yeah? Well, that's pricey.
What does that mean?
They're a bit lost, you know? Going round and round in circles.
Just keep your head, you know?
Yeah. Thanks. What about her?
Well, if she ever lived in it, she'd probably be the most beautiful thing the real world ever saw, but...
Yeah, it's hard to work out, I guess.
Wouldn't even try.
He stares out at her.
Come hang out with me one of these days. We can try and work you out. Are you done?
Yeah, sure, man.
They join Evelyn outside.
Can we go? It's not too dull.
Not too dull at all.
She puts her arm around him as they stroll away. Milo kisses her.
See you later, Jack.
Evelyn gets into the car. Smiling, she blows Jack a kiss, closes the door, already turned from him as he waves self-consciously back. He gives a little shake of his head, stares anywhere but at the car, puts the camera strap over his head and walks away. He strolls along wet pavements, taking in his surroundings, photographing things that catch his attention. The top of a building, a market trader weighing vegetables. Later, at home, he sits on a kitchen counter with a tea towel in hand as his mum Linda washes up a glass. She hands the soapy glass into Jack's care. He smiles at her as he begins to dry it.
Is this how you imagined your life, Mum?
What do you mean, Mum?
When you were younger. Is this how you thought things would pan out? I mean, was this the dream?
No, of course not.
Another glass is handed over.
Then why?
Because that's just how it works, you know. Life doesn't always play out the way you think it's going to in a funny sort of way. That's actually what makes life more interesting.
He stares at her.
You don't really think that, do you?
Yes. Yes, I do. That's how it works.
She sips wine from a glass and strips off pink marigolds.
I was going to be a painter.
I know.
And Nancy was going to be a fashion designer. And together we were going to, you know...
Take over the world.
Exactly, darling. And then I fell in love with your dad.
She stands cross-armed and smiles wryly into her past. Then she and Jack giggle at her complacent posturing. Next day, Jack is once again in the company of Evelyn, Milo and Cass. They sit drinking coffee outside a cafe under an awning. Jack has blossomed and keeps them entertained with his chatter. Later still, he escorts Evelyn down the street. He drapes his overshirt around her shoulders. Then the friends are having a carpet picnic, sat cross-legged on the floor, around a square blue scarf piled high with delicious foods. Jack takes photos. Eleanor throws grapes into Cass's mouth. Jack captures his impish grin. The sisters nibble on food, hug. Jack snaps away. Evelyn leans back into Milo and smiles into the camera. Milo's too preoccupied to raise the corners of his mouth, diving instead for more food. Then Jack and Cass are playing football down the street. Later, Evelyn and the sisters pose, their heads touching, hair tumbling around their pretty faces. Viola growls like a tiger, brings her hands together to form a heart and blows a kiss through the centre. Eleanor makes a hand heart and stares intently through it. Sat outside, Jack, Cass and Milo share a joke. Back in the house, Jack captures a moment of intimacy as Milo lies next to Evelyn. Later, the friends go to the Fiddler's Green. Cass plays DJ. As night falls, Jack and Evelyn walk along the street. The rain lashes down, soaking the streets that are lit up by passing car headlights. They sit on a step as it falls.
What do you want to do?
Right now?
No, I mean, like, what do you want to do? Cassius asked me a question the other day, and I didn't have an answer.
I get that. I think that life is too short to do something that you don't like, but it, I don't know, it takes a lot of courage and bravery to really have trust in yourself and do what you want to do. And I don't want to end up like my parents and spend the rest of my days doing a job that I don't like and not having the time to see my children. And it's not always easy. Don't you worry?
Yeah, I will worry a lot. Being around you guys makes me worry less, though. And you shouldn't worry. If there's anyone that deserves happiness more than you, I want to meet them.
That's sweet.
She caresses his arm. He pulls her into him and wraps his arm around her shoulder. She leans against him. He leans his head against hers, savouring the intimacy. Next day, Jack catches up with his mates and they play football under a flyover. Game over, he congratulates the other players. Tom approaches him.
How are you feeling, man? Good job. Play, Darren.
It's all right, man. It's all right, Josh, mate.
Play, Josh. It's okay, man.
Tom and Jack saunter off.
Well played, dude.
Yeah, man, it's all
right. It's a little read.
All right, Reed.
Why aren't you at work yesterday, man?
Oh, yeah, man. I decided to stop working.
What do you mean? How are you going to pay for South America?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I'm not sure I necessarily want to go anymore.
What?
Yeah, I just... Like, we both worked really hard. We saved up money, a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure it's what I want to do with it.
Come on, what's going to be better than going with your best mate to South America for, like, 6 months?
Like, it was an amazing plan, and I wanted it too, but...
Right, it's this new girl, right? It's this new girl.
It's got nothing to do with the new girl, man. I'm not with her, but I've had some time of my own to think about it, and, you know, I...
No, I don't know. I don't know at all.
I'm just saying I think you might have a better time if you go with someone else.
Like, what are you on about, mate? You're my best mate. We've been best mates since I can remember. And now you're...
Right, OK, well, as your best mate, I'm coming to you saying, do you understand that's not what I want? Like, whether you think that's shit of me or not, I'm not going to waste that period of my life.
Next thing you're going to be saying to me that you're not going to be going to Bristol anymore.
Well, I haven't made any decisions about Bristol.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
What?
What have your mum and dad said about that?
Well, I haven't told them yet, Tom.
Well, so it's not definite?
What do you mean it's not definite?
You can't just change your plans.
I can change my plans, Tom. I'm an adult. What do you mean? Like, if I don't want to go to uni, I don't have to go to uni, and I'm not going to go travelling with you. You've got to deal with that, man. I'm an adult.
All right, man, whatever. I'm going to work.
Tom, let's have a conversation about it.
I don't want to talk about it, mate.
Tom strides angrily away. In the busy market street near the sisters' house, Jack is sat smoking with Milo at their regular cafe haunt. He stares intently at the suave dude as they chat. Then he's a passenger in Milo's car. Milo turns to Jack.
Mind if we run a quick errand?
Oh, sure, man.
Milo parks in a nondescript part of town. Three young and pretty lads sit on a wall. Milo gets out. Jack remains in his seat, but observes the following repartee.
Take your time.
Yeah, man, we've been here half an hour.
Who's this?
This is Charlie, your newest recruit.
How old are you? How old is he?
He's 15, but...
He's a good kid.
He's too young, man. Get yourself something to eat. When's your birthday?
November,
I'll see you then.
On Tweedledee, Tweedledum, we're late.
Milo gets back into the driver's seat. The twins make themselves comfortable in the back of the car. Milo drives away.
This is a new guy.
No, this is Jack.
Jack, Gabriel and Felix.
The Glimmer twins.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Who are we seeing?
Remember that guy in Mayfair?
Oh, how can I forget?
I'm blanking.
The fucking guy that made us dance around his Picasso.
Oi, turn it up.
Jack complies. The twins seat dance and sing. Milo stares pointedly at Jack and then smiles to himself. The twins are slender and clean-shaven. One wears a vest top, the other a jacket over a white tee. They arrive in Mayfair. Milo parks by a neoclassical building. The louche lads exit the car and swagger away. Jack turns angrily to Milo.
Wait, hold on, man. Turn the engine off.
What?
This is what you do.
Yes, Jack. We got a problem with it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems pretty fucked.
Do they seem unhappy to you?
No, but I mean,
it's just money, man. We're in control, all right?
Are you?
Yes, 100%. Thank you. Oh, how do you think I survive? Ain't no parents bankrolling this motherfucker.
My parents don't pay for me either, man.
And you pay the electricity and the water and the rent?
Milo stares intently at Jack.
No, but
it's just you.
What do you mean?
Well, I've got Evelyn, haven't I? How do you think she's gonna get by?
Evelyn can work a normal job like anybody else.
Milo smiles condescendingly at Jack's innocence.
Stare at the windscreen for a moment and try and imagine Evelyn brewing cups of tea in a mailroom.
That's what I'm about to start doing.
Sorry, man. I mean, I wouldn't do that if you paid me.
It's unpaid.
Milo starts to laugh. Jack is taken aback.
Well, you know what, Jack? You could always come work for me. So can we move on?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Jack is judgmental. They leave Mayfair. At the Notting Hill Carnival, sunlight filters through close-packed trees. The streets are equally crowded with revelers. Jack wanders through the throng with his camera poised, hard at work, the smoke from his cigarette curling around his fingers as he snaps away. He pushes through the crowd to get to a makeshift bar and greets a buddy, throwing his arms around the young black lad. The rest of the sister's housemates are there. He sits next to Evelyn.
Where did he go?
Who?
Milo. Probably the best person to ask.
I'm not sure I am.
Well, he likes you. And I like that, but, well, everybody likes you.
She entwines her fingers through his. He glances away.
You like playing this little game, don't you?
Are we playing a game?
Oh, I think it might be.
Well, if you were playing a game, I don't think I would play it with you.
She moves her hand from his. Then he grabs her and pulls her to her feet.
That's a shame.
They dance. He twirls her under his arm. Cass is up and dancing in an outrageously colourful shirt. Then Jack and Evelyn are running through the streets. They dance along with the rest of the crowd. The sisters, sporting floral headgear like woodland nymphs, join them as they amble and dance around the carnival. They roar their delight at the sights and sounds they encounter. Jack continues to take photographs of the event. They pause in front of a sound system on the back of an open-sided van and dance to the music pumping out. Then he and Evelyn are eating street food. Carnival floats slowly past them. Jack takes copious photographs. A troupe of dancers wear yellow costumes with matching feathered headdresses. Then, Jack and the gang dance their way through the jam-packed streets of Notting Hill. As day races towards dusk, they dance before a huge soundstage. A tube rattles past a colourful projection on a wall. Jack blows the whistle around Evelyn's neck. Dusk turns to night. The revelers are silhouetted against the liquid display of the projection. Then, Jack and Evelyn are walking home through the streets at night.
Let's take a cab.
Let's walk.
You serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Let's walk.
You sure?
You want to?
Okay.
Okay.
Take us all night, but...
It's fine. I've got all night.
They walk arm in arm along the embankment as grey dawn breaks.
So how did you end up living with Ellen Vi? How did that happen?
What if I can't tell you? You're gonna laugh.
I'm not gonna laugh, tell me.
On a school trip, French exchange.
Okay, it's quite funny. That was perfect. And so what, you just kind of stayed and never left?
Well, I had to go back to Paris to finish high school. Right. And when the accident happened, I came back and I stayed.
Oh, that's nice. What about your parents? I mean, do they must miss you, like?
Yeah, well, you know, they're busy and I'm busy too, so.
Right. Did they come visit or?
Not really. They call me every Monday at 9:30.
Oh, like a set time, wow.
That's very stupid.
And strict.
Actually, they still think I'm in college.
Really?
Yeah.
For art?
Yeah, because, you know, I tried that, but I don't know, I'm not really good with this color structure, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's all right, you know. I mean, there are a ton of famous artists that never trained or, you know, never went to school. So can I see some of this art?
I don't know. I don't really like to show my art.
Such an artist thing to say. That right there.
Well, maybe I'll show you one day.
Yeah? Okay. I look forward to that.
They eventually arrive home. Evelyn lets them in with her key. There's a white marble bust with a tie around its neck by the staircase. She puts her keys down and walks further into the house that's filled with the sounds of a teacup hitting a saucer.
Interesting. Cass?
Curious, she leads Jack towards the sound and is confronted by Milo.
Two favourite people.
He sips from his teacup.
Want a beer?
Milo sits.
Yeah, thanks, man.
That's your Cass, yes.
You guys have fun tonight?
Lads.
Jackie?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, where did you leave?
Why, baby, I'm just glad you have fun. And you, Jack.
Evelyn greets the others.
Saved by the bell.
Smiling, Eleanor passes Jack.
Hey. I've heard you're being a bore again.
Oh, the biggest.
After a moment of awkwardness, Milo decisively stands.
Let's go to bed.
He pauses and stands in front of Jack.
You really are a beautiful man.
He slaps Jack's cheek as he follows Evelyn. Then Viola strokes Jack's cheek as she passes.
You really are.
Eleanor bustles round the kitchen.
Don't worry about him, Jackie. He'll get over it.
How do you know?
He cares more about his car than he does about her.
Milk?
Viola passes her sister the milk. Jack stares at his camera. After weighing them up, Eleanor offers him a mug.
Tea?
Peanut butter?
Oh, no, I'm fine, thanks.
Viola licks peanut butter from a spoon.
Bed?
Yeah, come on. Anyway, Jack, you know we love you.
Sleep well.
Thanks.
Deflated, he stares intently at the floor. There are steely grey skies over the low tide. Narrow boats float safely on the middle course of the river. A gritty sandbank follows its edge. There's a barge filled with a growing garden of shrubs and trees. Deep in thought, Jack makes his way along the winding streets flanking the river, where narrow boats slumber on the grey-green water. His mood is echoed by the lacklustre morning. Then he's back home, fast asleep. Thomas sat beside him, intent on waking him up.
Wake up, mate. Jack.
Wake up, I've got you a cup of tea, yeah?
Jack finally rouses.
The big night, was it?
Aye.
Been a while?
Yeah. What's up, man?
What's up with you?
I felt better.
He pulls a shirt over his T-shirt.
Seen you in ages.
Yeah. You're good, though.
Why don't you introduce me to your new mates?
They're not my new mates.
Whatever the fuck they are, why haven't you introduced me to them? Are you embarrassed by me? Are they cooler than me or what?
Why are you in my room, Tom?
I don't know, actually. I'm gonna go. I'll see you whenever, it's fine.
Okay, I'll walk away and be a child about it.
Are you joking me? Are you kidding? I was going to say the same thing to you, mate. Sorry for stopping by, Jack. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Sort your shit out. Look at this place.
I don't care what time it is, and why do you? What does that matter to you? Why are you in my room? Like, asking me all these questions. What's this about? Is this because I won't go travelling with
you? No, it's not at all.
So what is it about?
It's about you suddenly turning into a fucking arsehole, mate.
How am I an arsehole? How would you know? I haven't seen you. I haven't been with you 5 minutes. You can't deal with it. How needy.
Fuck off.
Tom pushes Jack, who lands on the bed.
Good. Great. Nice.
Jack?
Yes, I'm sorry, mate.
Jack,
you've just got to understand.
Jack. Jack, can we please have a chat?
You and them both, huh? This is great. Everyone's having a go.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to push you. I just lost it.
You know what? It's good, man. I needed it.
He pulls on his shoes.
Jack. Any idea how much money you've spent over the last few weeks?
Jack grabs his rucksack.
Are you actually joking me right now?
Your internship starts tomorrow.
Oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. I totally forgot. I should be downstairs ironing my tie. How do you think Bill Walker likes his coffee in the morning?
You have no idea how lucky you are to be working for Bill Walker.
Bill Walker can fuck off.
He pushes past his appalled parents.
Excuse me.
Jack.
Jack has left the house. He draws on a cigarette to calm him down. He arrives at a tube station and enters via the turnstiles after touching in with his Oyster. Then he sat on a moving tube. The view from the window behind him, a blur of advertising as the train leaves the station. Jack rests his head against the perspex end wall of the seats. A side view of the compartment shows only one other passenger. His mood eases as the journey continues. Then he's walking along the narrow walkway between high wall and public house, on his way to the sisters' elegantly decaying Victorian mansion. He arrives just as Milo is leaving, followed by a storm of angry French. The door slams behind Milo, who strides away. It opens again as Evelyn races out to throw a cup after his retreating form. Milo drives away. The sisters step out of the house.
Oh, you missed him.
He was quite far away.
Yeah, he should have just hit his car.
Smashed window would have been nice.
All right, on his head.
Dans la tête.
Bah oui, c'est ça.
The girls stare quizzically at Jack.
What's with the backpack, Huckleberry Finn?
Oh, I've run away.
First time?
Yeah. Yeah, it's my first time.
Living the dream, bruh.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you guys whether I could stay here.
Yeah, sure.
You could have my room.
Wait, where are you staying?
I've got a date.
Like a sleepover date?
Not officially.
But... You are such a sleaze.
You're like an advert for chlamydia.
It's way too early for this.
Cass returns inside the house.
Shall we do something?
Us?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys go up to the country?
Yeah, we've got a place. We haven't actually been there in ages.
The sisters bounce back inside the house. Evelyn sashes up to Jack.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, I want... Do you want to?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, OK.
Viola throws Jack keys.
What's...
Drive safe.
Evelyn smiles, turns to Jack.
Just gonna back in it.
Oh, we're here.
She returns to the house. Jack smiles secretly up at Evelyn's attic bedroom. Then, to his utter delight, they are uncovering a golden Rolls Royce. Evelyn now wears a floppy red hat over her flowing auburn locks and a soft suede jacket over her cotton romper suit.
Ta-da!
Jack's astounded.
I'm sure it's not that hard.
Yeah. I can drive. I just... don't have a license.
It's fine then. I believe in you, baby.
Wait.
He races round the front of the car to open the passenger door for her.
Miss?
She gives a little curtsy, gets in. He closes the door, sits nervously behind the wheel. Evelyn smiles sweetly and confidently at him.
This is an awful idea. I mean, like, really bad.
Cheers for me.
She smiles winsomely at him.
Let's go. Hit the road, Jack.
Leaving the city, the sedate Rolls travels the slow lane of a three-lane road, passing ever-increasing areas of countryside. The passing vista shows fields and trees blurring into a stream of gold and green. As he drives, Jack directs surreptitious glances and smiles at his passenger. Evelyn smiles back at him, her sun-soaked hair flowing back in the breeze from the open window. Then they are on a narrow country road, flanked by high, unruly hedges and trees. Jack still grips the steering wheel with nervous hands. Evelyn twists in her seat to take a photo of him on his camera. He glances at her, puts up his hand. She clicks and smiles. A giant weeping willow graces the edge of a field where they stop to have a cigarette break, sitting on the bonnet of the Rolls. Jack lights Evelyn's cigarette before his. Evelyn ponders and turns to him.
Thanks for doing this.
He shakes his head, dismissing her thanks.
It's okay.
No, you're kind.
It's fine.
Are you having fun?
Yeah. Having fun when I'm with you.
She leans across and kisses his cheek. Then they resume their appraisal of the field and open vista beyond, smoking in companionable silence. They arrive late at night at their destination. Another venerable old tree between them and the sprawling mansion of a whitewashed house. Jack's impressed.
Wow.
Finally.
He hands her the keys. She walks towards the house as he gets their things from the car. Inside, the house is in darkness until Evelyn turns on the light, illuminating the open-plan lower portion of the country house-styled furnishings. Jack closes the door, glances around. Evelyn starts to climb the stairs.
Bedtime.
Jack follows her, carrying her bag. The staircase is enclosed in narrow whitewashed walls, hinting at the age of the property. They pause on the landing. The ceiling slopes down on the outer wall with a door tucked under it. They awkwardly avoid one another's stare until their eyes eventually lock.
Which one do you want?
I don't mind. Which one do you want?
Well, that bed is better. You could always be a gentleman and give me that one.
I'm not sure about being a gentleman. We could toss a coin for it.
Fuck you. Okay, well, rock, paper, scissors then.
Right.
They square up to one another.
Go on, count it in, pussy.
One, two, three.
She does rock to his scissors.
What is it that you call me again?
One, two, three.
The outcome's reversed.
Pussy. I called you a pussy.
Thank you. Well, big time.
Oh, massive, huge moment.
One, two, three.
He does paper to her rock.
Fuck.
Paper beats rock.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
His hand closes round her fist.
You know, in France, I don't think that paper really bit rocks.
In France, yeah. That's funny because we're in England now. In England, the rules are that paper does beat rock.
Oh, yeah.
So French rule, unless we're in France, that wouldn't work.
Run the best for me.
She slips from his almost kiss. The light in the bathroom is dim, lit only by a lamp in the corner. Jack runs a bath. He leans over it, testing the water as it fills. He stands. Evelyn comes up behind him and slides her arms around him, pulling his back up against her. He stands with arms still raised so as not to scare her away. He slowly turns to face her. Her arms snake around his neck. His hands tentatively slide around her neck. Their mouths gravitate towards one another and meet with a gentle kiss. Then she initiates a deeper, more sensual kiss. their hands gently pulling their bodies closer. Their kisses become more insistent. Then she's lying on the bed, back arched with pleasure, as his kisses caress her bare neck and travel down to her heaving chest. He lies on top of her, and she pulls him close as he moves rhythmically. Her eyes are closed, mouth open, with sensual pleasure as he makes love to her. A coverlet is drawn over their lower bodies. Then she is on top of him, her long hair and breasts swaying with the rhythm of her movement. She sweeps her hair from her face, then leans closer in to kiss him. Her breasts touch his chest. Finally, his hands caress her face and hair as he pulls her to him. The screen fades to black. The next day dawns with glorious sunshine. The leaves of the venerable old tree at the top of the country house driveway, drenched in gold to rival the rolls parked by the whitewashed walls. Jack finds himself alone in bed when he wakes. Sunlight paints the contours of his face. He sits up and turns to Evelyn's empty side of the bed. Then, with camera in hand, he makes his way out into the sprawling back garden of the house. Evelyn is reclining on a three-seater swing seat as she draws. She smiles at him.
Hey, you.
Hey.
He sits beside her and puts her bare leg on his lap.
It's so early.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know you snore.
Sorry about that. Last night was really fun.
You're always fun, Jay.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He caresses her leg.
Jack.
Yeah.
Stop.
She testily removes her leg from his touch and puts it on the ground. Jack's bemused.
Okay.
He glances at her like a wounded puppy, then makes moves to stand.
I'm gonna go make a cup of tea.
Confused by her behaviour, he glances at her. She ignores him. He gets up and makes his way to the house. There's a wooden table with chairs and a sun umbrella on the patio by the open French doors. In the rustic kitchen, he stands by a counter with kettle, milk and mug waiting to become acquainted. The camera slowly sweeps up his body to face. He stares blankly out of the window, lost in solemn thoughts. The kettle's boiling rouses him. He bites his lower lip as he remains lost in saddened thought. He turns his face in Evelyn's direction, then strides purposefully towards her, somewhat peeved. He sits beside her. She's nursing a cup of tea. Glances at him before returning her gaze to the rim of the cup.
How do you feel?
What?
How are you feeling?
About what?
About us, Sev.
Don't start that game, man.
I'm not... Don't call me man.
Man, man, man.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing. What's wrong with you?
Oh, good. So we're back doing this one now. You don't tell me anything. Hey!
What?
Just look at me. I'm trying to talk to you.
They stare intently at one another.
I'm not playing a game.
We're all playing games.
No. No, you and Milo might play games. I'm not playing a game.
Work yourself up, Jackie.
I'm not getting... What does that mean, don't work yourself up? You all play games, it's all a joke to you. Am I a joke to you, Ev?
She sits back down.
You play games with Milo. Milo definitely plays games with you, always messing you around, and now you're playing games with me.
He's not playing games with me.
Oh, Milo doesn't play games with you, really? What do you think he's doing every time he's not with you?
What?
His work.
Yeah.
It's sick.
How exciting.
The camera swings rapidly back and forth between them.
You have no idea what he does.
He stares intently at her.
Okay. Well, let me fill you in. You're better than him. And what he does and how he is. And you and me, we can get away from all this. Do you never ask questions?
Do you ever stop?
Do you wonder what your boyfriend is doing when he's not with you? If he loved you...
What are you talking about? Who are you to tell me what to think about my boyfriend? You don't know anything.
She angrily puffs on her cigarette. Jack storms away.
You don't make any sense.
Well, you know what? That's the best compliment anyone ever paid me.
I'm trying to help you, Ev.
You never, ever had to do that.
It's not about what I had to do, it's about what I want to do, Evelyn, okay?
I get it. You like me, you wanted me enough. Now you fucked me. You happy?
He shrugs.
And did me fucking you mean anything?
Yeah, it meant lots.
They stare truculently at the grass. He shrugs again.
So where does that leave me?
Where it leaves me. Part of your history.
She momentarily glances up at him before returning her gaze to the ground.
I don't want you to be a part of my history. I want us to be real.
Jack, we only know each other. Don't try to make that what it can't be right now. Just try to enjoy it as it is, as it can be. Spark.
He nods defensively, then walks away.
Jack.
Not now.
Choking on emotion, he walks back to the house. Evelyn watches him a moment, then walks back to her garden seat. Jack slouches along a country road, camera around his neck. The sunlight illuminates his checked overshirt rolled up to the elbows and short spiky blonde hair. He drop kicks a stone as he walks. Then he approaches a badly dressed scarecrow in a field of golden ripe wheat. Butterflies flit past as he wades through waist-height crops. Then he follows a dirt track with its heavy vegetation of weeds and looming hedges. He pauses long enough to pick a weed and shreds it between his fingers. His shadow follows his wanderings. Leaves rustle in giant trees flanking one side of the road. He continues to shred his weed as he journeys back to the house. His feet plod over hard-packed earth. He arrives at the driveway with hands rammed into his pockets. Viola is hanging out of the top floor window, flicking ash from her cigarette as she watches him approach.
We thought you'd run off.
Hey, I didn't realise you guys were coming down.
I didn't have a birthday party this year, so I thought it'd be fun. The others are downstairs.
Sure.
Evelyn is shy with him as he enters the house.
Oh, hey, Jack.
Jack! I can't believe they let you drive the Rolls. Why can't I ever drive the Rolls?
Because you might find out our license.
Still, whatever. I think it's unfair.
You and Jack go sort out the barbecue.
Let's get out of here.
Jack and Cass take their drinks and sit on a bench outside.
So there must be quite a lot of people coming to for his birthday, no?
Any minute now, baby. Any minute now.
He glances at Jack.
How was last night?
Yeah, it was fine, man.
What went down?
Nah, man, nothing. We just went to bed.
Something happened, surely.
Jesus won the interrogation, Cass.
You fuck her?
Shut up.
No.
No. No. No! Cass, shut up.
What the fuck are you thinking, Jack?
A car pulls up.
You better keep that to yourself, my man.
Yeah, of course.
Good. Good. What was it like?
Shut up, man.
Please, God, tell me Dave didn't drive you all down. Do you all have a death wish? Hey, I'm Cassius. What's going on, baby?
Cass greets the new arrivals, leaving Jack deep in thought, a lit barbecue behind him. Then the guests take a stroll across a field. The eclectic subgroups within the hyper-hip millennials, couples and friends, all privileged. Cass teases the pretty girl waving a flag on a stick. The kids wildly race through the trees, evading being caught, whilst Jack stands by a tree, a red scarf tied to it, smoking a fag. Jack spies Evelyn in a flowing white dress, clinging to a tree trunk opposite him. Their gazes lock, his wistful, hers impenetrable. Cass dodges this way and that. Viola pelts across a clearing. Cool Dave becomes the champion and captures the flag. His teammates hoist him high, cigarette nonchalantly hanging from his lips. Later, Cass, Viola, and Eleanor are sat in an abandoned bath. Eleanor blows flower seeds into the air. Then, Cass pushes Viola around in an old wheelbarrow. The chums play hockey. Then Viola and Cass use their hockey sticks like swords as they battle one another. He sweeps his over her head. She ducks out of harm's way. He leaps up into the air. She rolls on the ground. The day leans towards dusk and the friends gather outside the country manor. A DJ has set his decks up outside. Jack sits beside Cass.
Yeah, that's my dad, man. I just don't think we see eye to eye, really. What about your parents?
Parents are tricky, man. They are tricky.
Hey, guys, do you want to play fire hockey later?
What's that? Oh, it's the best, man.
Come on, Jack. Don't be a bore.
Come on, Jackie.
Yeah, I might sort this one out, you guys.
Who's being a bore?
Milo joins the girls.
Come on, Jackie. Play the game. What's wrong?
Nothing, man. Yeah, let's play.
Milo aggressively catches Evelyn's arm and drags her away. Later that night, revelers hang off a wooden fence and watch a bonfire rage in the field beyond, their bodies silhouetted against the flaming backdrop. The teams wear either red or yellow tabards. They excitedly watch as the ball is set alight with a blowtorch. Sticks are crossed as the game commences, the flaming ball sent from player to player. Evelyn bumps into Jack and she giggles. They both play for the red team. As the ball is sent along the grass, it leaves a comet tail of flames. Jack steals a glance at Evelyn. The sisters play in the yellow team with Milo and Cass, who scores. Then Jack passes to Evelyn, who also scores. She raises a victorious arm to the sky. The end of the game finds Milo racing to Evelyn and kissing her soundly. Jack stares with undisguised longing. He backs away from their passionate and happy embrace. They continue to canoodle, totally oblivious to anyone but themselves. Cass puts a comforting arm around Jack's shoulder.
It'll be okay.
Evelyn glances back at Jack.
Come on, let's get you a drink.
Jack shuffles after Cass. Later, he's sat between the sisters around a campfire. They all stare into the hypnotic flames. Viola is crunching a crisp. She offers him the bag.
Want one? Or are you one of those, I don't like salt and vinegar losers?
Thanks.
See? I knew you were part of our team, Jackie.
She leans in close.
I know what you're thinking.
He turns to her. She nods sagely.
You want cheese and onion, don't you?
Jack and Eleanor chortle. Viola glances at her sister.
Do we have any cheese and onion crisps?
No, only salt and vinegar.
Jackie wants cheese and onion.
Evelyn sits beside Eleanor.
I'm fine, really.
Evelyn appears out of sorts.
Let's go and put Dave to bed.
The sisters leave. Jack and Evelyn glance at one another. Then Evelyn shuffles across to sit next to Jack. Guests stroll past them. Jack stares at the ground. Evelyn appears diffident.
Milo and I...
You don't have to explain this. It's fine, really. Thank you, though. I understand.
Evelyn bites her lower lip, intent on making amends. She gathers her thoughts before speaking again.
What about the boy you were with the first time I met you?
Tom.
Yeah. How is he?
Tom, how's Tom? I don't really know. To be honest, I haven't spoken to him in a while, so.
Well, maybe you should call him then.
Yeah, I don't know where. How much he's gonna want to hear from me, to be honest. I haven't been that good to him, but I will. Thanks. I'll do that.
They're awkward with one another and stare into the flames. The light and shadows flicker across their faces.
Why,
Why did last night happen?
Because I wanted to. I'm sorry, I just don't have any other explanations.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's fine.
She becomes a little emotional and turns her face from him.
But you'll be all right.
Yeah, you reckon?
You're gonna be a great photographer. It's really me you should worry about.
Oh yeah, how's that?
Well, I'm just a lost girl from Paris.
What about your painting?
Well, I didn't show my art, so...
I forgot. Well, that's up to you.
He nods at her. She sends covert glances at him, then tentatively reaches out. He takes her proffered hand and they smile with the acceptance that everything is okay between them. Day dawns over the countryside. The golden Rolls-Royce is travelling along the narrow, heavy vegetation-flanked road. Jack sits in the back seat, gazing reflectively into the distance. Viola, sat beside him, stares appraisingly at him. She smiles and puts an arm out to stroke his back. He turns and smiles back at her demonstration of affection. He resumes his position with head resting against the window. From the front seat, Eleanor smiles fondly at him, then across at Cass, who is driving them home. Jack's forehead creases as he sinks deeper into contemplation. He is joined at the side of his head by his reflection in the window. Back in his own bedroom, photographs of his new friends along with postcards adorn the walls. They also appear in the mirror where Jack, as he shrugs into his overshirt, is intently regarding his reflection. With a sense of determination, he steps away from his reflection. Then he strides purposefully from the house. His blue shirt is open, revealing a white tee with the word Tusker repeated around a central design. His hands are jammed into the shirt's pockets. He positively swaggers down the street, brimming over with barely suppressed confidence as he chews gum. He arrives on the tube platform as the train is arriving. Then he is sat on the moderately filled tube. He glances up at the adverts, adorning it. Then he is back on the busy street. He confidently strides past a helpful young man, giving directions to a young woman.
Hey, Tommy, it's me. How you doing, man? Listen, it was so good to see you last night, and I just want to say again, good luck on your trip. That smug look on your face while you're overlooking the beautiful vistas with Giselle in your arm will be priceless. And, listen, if you need to get bailed out of Colombian prison, just give me a call. Anyway, have a safe flight, my man, and can't wait to hear all your stories. Lots of love. Speak soon. Bye.
Jack puts away his mobile. Then he exits the Camera Cafe, 44 Museum Street, with a package in hand. He stands beside a red letterbox. Glancing around, he starts to pull the contents from a large envelope. He regards a set of photographs, beginning with one of Cass smiling into the camera. A group shot of the friends at Notting Hill Carnival. He chuckles as he continues to go through them. Jack pauses over a photograph of Evelyn, blowing a sultry kiss at the camera, his expression momentarily reflective. Then he puts the photos carefully back into the envelope, licks the seal and sticks it down. He turns it over to reveal the address. ID Magazine, New North Place, London, EC2A, 4JA. Biting off the lid of a pen, he glances up before he turns the envelope over to scrawl on the back in huge letters, Kids in Love. He takes the pen lid from his mouth, glances at the letterbox, and then down at the envelope. He posts the letter. Turns, tugs up his trousers and walks away, jamming his hands into his pockets as he does so. A cyclist crosses his path as he steps across the road. Without missing a beat, he pulls his mobile from his pocket and lifts it to his ear. Beyond him, red buses drive past on the main road. The screen fades to black. The end. Cast credits appear over a contact sheet of Jack's photo.
Kids in love, and I had so much more to give my love.
meant to love you. I got a reason. Take it together. I didn't know what was wrong, but the sun it hasn't shone. This bright in forever, bright in forever. 'Cause I've got a reason to love you. Find my place. Am I gonna waste my time?